I'm Fran Kritz, editor of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Public Health Page. Mobilizing Action Toward Community Health, better known as MATCH, is a groundbreaking initiative led by the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute and funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. The goal of the project is to serve as a nationwide call to action for improving health. MATCH rolled out its efforts last February with the county health rankings. We're talking today with Dr. David Kindig, who is Professor Emeritus at the Population Health Institute at the University of Wisconsin and also the co-principal investigator for the MATCH project. Dr. Kindig, welcome.
Thank you for talking to me.
We are talking today because there's a new project, and that is the new issue of CDC's online journal, Preventing Chronic Disease, includes several essays that were commissioned by the MATCH project and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Can you highlight some of the key research among the essays in the journal?
Sure. We were really privileged to have a number of the nation's experts on metrics contribute essays to the project and coming out next week in the journal. As you mentioned before, a large part of our MATCH project beyond the county health rankings themselves is essentially to think through and provide advice about taking action and really improving population health. And there's an old saying that you can't manage what you can't measure. And so this first issue focuses on the measurement piece, ways of thinking about outcomes, about disparities, about the different determinants. And so there's papers on medical care metrics and socioeconomic metrics and environmental metrics. So each of the essay writers has up-to-date current thinking on current and possibly future metrics. In addition, there's a couple of commentaries that started out, and particularly Linda Bilheimer from the CDC has a nice piece talking about how do we evaluate the metrics in terms of their usefulness for improving population health.
How might some of the metrics be used in future national county health ranking projects and by individual communities?
Sure. Well, as you know, the county health rankings will be done annually, and we are hoping to keep the outcomes measures the same so we can track the overall health of counties over time in a valid way. But as hopefully your listeners know, we also rank counties on their determinants of health, so metrics about medical care and social factors, environmental factors, and you know those we will change over time as new measures become available, particularly at the county level. Often we have trouble getting robust measures for all kinds of small counties, so we will do that. But also, this goes beyond the rankings. I mean, individual states and communities may want to look at things their own way. Some areas may have better data, so they can do more than we could do for every county. I'm hopeful that Healthy People 2020 and a lot of the state 2020 projects will look to these as possibilities for use for ways they can enhance their own metrics.
And health disparity is also a key focus, I know. Using metrics to capture health disparity is a focus of some of the essays. Why is that data so pivotal?
Well, you know, we talk about two goals of the nation, improving our overall health and reducing disparities. And I think, frankly, we spend a lot more time talking about the overall health and less in metrics, at least, and less time on actually careful metrics for health disparities, particularly for overall disparity outcomes like mortality and quality of life and healthy days. And even in the county rankings, you know, they're a disparity measure in themselves because they compare geographies, but we don't, in that exercise, explicitly look within counties at disparity issues like race or like socioeconomic status or gender. And so there's many of the essay writers talk about that, and then there's some overall essays about the critical importance of tracking disparities with exactly the same rigor and vigor that we track, say, overall population health means.
having the data, of course, requires gathering much of it from individuals. And up until recently, the way that that data was typically gathered was through surveys done by landline telephones. Now, of course, people use landline telephones and cell phones, social media, email for communicating. How does that change how the data is gathered?
Yeah, well, that's a really important question. And number of the essays touch on it. The one on behaviors by Muckdad and Remington specifically talks about that, because a lot of the data we have on behaviors like smoking rates and obesity rates and some of those things actually come from phone surveys. A lot of them, the behavioral risk factor surveillance system from the CDC. And some of that data is becoming problematic, you know, because of cell phones and other kinds of things. So they point out and that we will have to, in addition to enhancing those systems and making them as good as they can be, we're going to have to look at looking at data from other institutional settings, like what you can get from medical records and health providers or in schools or from employers, all those databases, as well as sort of internet-based surveys. So there will undoubtedly be advances in the future on how we learn about these things and measure them.
Dr. David Kindig, thank you so much for discussing the upcoming issue of preventing chronic disease.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
I'm Fran Kritz for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.